ways are you encouraged in your faith? And what discourages you? That's what I want us to think about today. As I was contemplating what to do today, I looked, as usual, at the lectionary, because that's kind of what I think you try and follow through. But nothing really grabbed me, and the word encouragement really came to me. So I went with that flow. Now, so much of the New Testament is about encouraging the young church to keep going in their faith. They face persecution, they face temptation, they face false teaching, and doubt, and infighting, and disappointments. The apostles wrote to them to encourage them, keep going in your faith. God loves you. I love you. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God is for you. You can do it in him. Just trust God. That is basically what the New Testament's all about, as well as consolidating what we believe. And the apostles encourage the believers to encourage each other. It is one of the pillars of the church, encouragement. Now, I love Simon and Garfunkel, and I love their song, I Am a Rock. But it is a very sad song. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter, and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I'm an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard it all before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I'm an island. Well, that is not what God made any human being for. But life hurts sometimes. Life hurts a lot. A lot. And we get hurt in church too, don't we? And sometimes it's hard to remember that Jesus Christ was prepared to hurt for the church. He still bears those wounds in his body. But hurt can make us feel lonely. It can make us withdraw from each other. When we're hurt and disappointed, we become alienated from each other, and it can last. It can make us feel like Simon and Garfunkel. But Jesus calls us to draw close to each other, to love each other, to encourage each other through thick and thin, through pain as well as joy. And the passage that I chose for today is really short, and it's partly that the reason that I chose it, because within a very few, I think it's 7 verses, it is just so full of encouragement. And the encouragement starts in verse 1 with Paul and Paul's love for his brothers and sisters. And he expresses this love very openly. And if you read the New Testament, you read the epistles that Paul wrote, and you read Acts, and you see the way that he loved people, he was very open. He was prepared to be vulnerable. He talks about agonizing over them. I love that word in the New Living Translation that Keris was reading. He talks about agonizing over them in prayer. And in verse 5, he says, my heart is with you. He just gives himself completely to the church. How often do we consciously express love like that to each other? Because it is a wonderful thing to hear. I'm sure that the Colossians loved hearing that from the Apostle Paul. Knowing that people care about our spiritual well-being helps us keep going in faith. You know, when you get that text from somebody who says, I was reading this verse, I was thinking about you, so I thought I'd send it to you. What a blessing that can be. There's nothing more encouraging than knowing that someone cares for you, that they're praying for you. It's so important to say, I love you. I love you, Bethania. I don't know you that well, but I love you. And my heart is for you and with you. I care for you. I want the best for you. And to know that those words are sincere and that they're echoing the heart of God. That is the sort of encouragement that the church needs to keep going. Verse 2 is a beautiful verse. Paul says, I want the believers to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Paul knows that the brothers and sisters are stronger when they're knit together by love. And I think that's a good picture, really, knitting. Because I'm not, when I say I'm not good at it, it's the patience bit. I find it really hard to be patient, and I've tried every so often, and I'm okay if I'm in a little bit of a crochet circle. I can last a bit longer, but I actually find it such, it needs an awful lot of perseverance, doesn't it? Any knitters in here, you'll know what I mean. But you need the love, the TLC, you need the patience and perseverance to have anything worth looking at or wearing with knitting. Otherwise, like normally mine are like Barbie scarves. That's as far as I get. But it's the same in church. Being knit together takes time and commitment and love. And it is the opposite in lots of ways of our society, which in lots of times we feel it's unraveling, a bit like a knitted jumper. It's unraveling as people get busier, as we get more distracted by stuff, more distracted by the world. It can feel like we're just in our own little pocket. And it can happen to us as Christians. We can feel like church becomes like a bit of an add-on patch onto our garment rather than knit through our whole life, which is what we need. And Paul says strength comes when our lives are woven together, not just woven to God, but woven together by love. Now, I get the impression that you guys are pretty close-knit, but I might be wrong. And even if you are close-knit, it needs an awful lot of work to keep that going and to protect and love and care so that it doesn't unravel. That needs work too, doesn't it? Can't be taken for granted. And encouragement is a vital part of this. Encouragement can stop us from feeling like we're unraveling ourselves, and it can actually bind the church together in love. Paul himself needed encouragement. It isn't just because he was a leader didn't mean to say that he didn't need encouragement. And in fact, he was really open about needing encouragement. And he was just following in the footsteps of Jesus. Because remember, Jesus walked with his disciples. And then when he got to his toughest part, where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to his disciples, "Can you pray with me? I need you to pray with me." And then he came out after he'd been praying and sweating drops of blood, and they were all asleep. And he expressed, "I am disappointed. Could you not have just stayed with me for a wee bit to pray?" He expresses disappointment. He expresses discouragement. And I think that's okay sometimes, because there are times, especially for you guys now, when you're looking for a new minister, where you need to knit together, don't you? You need to be together. And you can't just leave it to a few people to pray by themselves. We all are in it together, aren't we? Even me, coming here every so often, I'm in it with you too. You need that encouragement to know that people are praying for you from outside and that actually giving you the courage to keep together and keep praying together. Now, Paul talks about his struggles, but he also talks about his encouragement. In this passage, he talks in verse 5 about how he's encouraged by the fact that the Colossians' faith is strong in Jesus. Despite the fact that people are tempting them to other beliefs, they are holding on to their faith, and that gives Paul so much joy. I recognize that. I look for that kind of fruit. I love seeing that kind of fruit in the people that I'm walking alongside in faith. It gives me so much joy to see people going on. Harry's here today. Harry's my son. But I love the fact we were chatting in the car and come in about the time when he chose to go to uni and chose to keep going to church while he was at university. And he's not always found it easy. He's struggled to kind of like maybe find, I hope you don't mind me saying this, he's struggled to find a spiritual home. But he's kept going and persevering. Now, I can encourage Harry, but I also want to encourage you by saying, what you're doing gives me so much joy. It does. Bless you. And look, he's here today giving me encouragement just by being with me. I think that's really wonderful. And Paul is quite happy not to just go, oh, I'm your leader, I'm above you. No, he's not like that. He's like, I am with you, I'm for you, and you are for me. That's how he encourages them. It's pretty amazing. He's also encouraged that they are living their lives to please God. because it reminds him, what I'm doing to serve God is worthwhile. See, one of those tins of discouragement was worthless or useless. We can feel like that in ministry too. And what we need is people to say, oh, keep going. And we need to receive that word of encouragement that what we're doing is worthwhile, that it's bringing glory to God. Following God isn't always easy. Following God and serving him is sacrificial. When we're facing a daunting situation, like searching for a new minister, or sharing the gospel with people that don't know Jesus, or being a Christian in your workplace, we need to be encouraged that what we're doing and our life in Jesus and following Jesus is worthwhile. And you may need some encouragement like that right now. So receive it. Receive it from the Lord and try and find it from each other and encourage each other in that. As a church, you may need to say to each other, I need encouragement as we do this, as we search for a minister, as we try and work out what God is saying to us. I need a word of encouragement. I think, take Paul's example. He was happy to ask for that, and he was also happy to give it. We will be able to keep going if we're knit together with strong ties of love and we encourage each other in that. But the most significant way that Paul encourages the believers, not just in this passage, but all through the epistles, is by reminding them about Jesus. And in the car, when Harry and I were talking about how we keep going in faith, for me, it is always to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Because that, no matter what's happening, if I turn to him, and I was saying to Harry, you're never disappointed. He never lets you down. Is that right? Jesus never lets you down. There is no more encouraging person to be with or to put your trust in. And when we put our faith in him, he responds and he comes to us. Because he's standing at the door and he's knocking, waiting for us to let him in so that he can encourage us by his presence, by the Spirit. And there is an unbreakable strength that we're given when we have Jesus in our life based on the unbreakable promises of God. In verse 3, Paul says, in Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that we need for life and godliness, as he says to Timothy, we find in Jesus Christ, who gives himself so freely to us and gives the Holy Spirit so freely to us. Everything that we need, all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are found in Jesus if we turn to him and we trust him and we bring our lives to him and we bring our concerns and we depend on him. And as far as Paul's concerned, it's a foregone conclusion that if they trust Jesus, if they put their roots down in Jesus, as he describes in verse 7, then their faith will grow. It's guaranteed. Their faith will grow strong in the truth, and they will overflow with thankfulness. That's a sign of an encouraged church, thankfulness. And sometimes practicing thankfulness is a way to be encouraged. It's a bit of a cycle of blessing. Sometimes when we're not feeling particularly encouraged, we need to kind of say, come on, let's just get this cycle going again. Let's get the cycle of thankfulness and encouragement going in our praise. We are strengthened. We will see God work. And we'll be able to see what God is doing in our lives. And we will be able to give thanks when we're in Christ. Now, I asked folks from this week from my house group at HBC what encouragement they have in their faith. And I thought I'd pick out a couple of their responses to share with you, because I really found them encouraging. So I thought I'd encourage you with them as well. And one person, when I asked her what encourages you in your faith, she went right back to actually before she was a Christian. And when she was young, like a teenager, her boyfriend was made to go to church. And so she went with, she went to her boyfriend's mum and dad's church. And she wasn't brought up a Christian, didn't know anything about it, went to this church. And it was quite an old church. It had stained glass windows. And one of the stained glass windows had John 14. the first verses on it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. For you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. And it stirred her, even though she wasn't a believer. And then her mum died when she was 18. That's a really young age to lose your mum. And that verse comforted her. And then when she became a Christian, throughout the decades of following Jesus, this verse has stuck with her because it's reminded her that God cares for her, but he actually cared for her before she was even a believer and a follower of Jesus. That is something that she's taken. She knows that God is with her because he was with her before she was even following him. And that's how she finds so much encouragement. And another friend in house group, I've got some lovely people in my house group. Another friend in house group spoke about Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. And these verses say, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And she, the thing that she focuses on here is that God has got a race marked out specifically for her, that she sometimes struggles with comparing herself to other people and with insecurity. And that is like the thing that entangles her and weighs her down. And she says, this verse tells me that I've got a race. It's not, might not be the same, and I might not look the same as other people, but I've got a race marked out for me. And if I just keep my eyes on Jesus, I can keep going. And that is something. These are two women that are kind of like, ooh, I better not say how old they are. Don't know. But they've been many decades a Christian. And they are absolutely lovely, encouraging women in my life. And I love the fact that their encouragement encouraged me. So I thought I'd share it with you. Now, some people have the gift of encouragement. You know those people. They inspire your faith. They lift your spirits. They're looking for ways to encourage you. And that's really great. There is a gift of encouragement. But actually, you notice in the Bible, there's no gift of being an Eeyore in the New Testament. We're all called to be encouragers of each other because it's a pillar of the church. Encouragement keeps us going. It's not about being bright and shiny, happy, happy, happy all the time, people. But it's about choosing to bless others with what you say, with your prayers, and with words of blessing to lift their spirits and encourage them in their faith, even when we personally are going through struggles. We don't just get right in on ourselves and just focus on our own struggles. We're looking for ways to bless other people as well. That's how we encourage, not just when we're all fine and tip-top and brilliant, because how often is life really like that? That's not my experience. We just keep going, being encouragers through thick and thin. And when I was kind of like preparing for this, I realized that my mind kept on going to Philippians, another of Paul's letters, and it's the first, in Philippians, it's one of the first, when I was 15 and I was baptized, it's my first memory verse, basically, when I was seeking to walk with God. And it was Philippians 1, 9 to 10. And it's, I'll show you that I can still remember it. May your love abound more and more with knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Well done, you. But that verse, when I was 15, I chose to memorize it because I wanted to know God's will for my life. And I wanted to go deeper, deeper into the love of God. And I wanted it to change my life. But I realized that it's often a go-to prayer for me now when I'm thinking about my own motives, when I'm thinking about, are my actions motivated by love? Do I have wisdom in this? Can I say that my actions are pure and blameless? It's a go-to prayer. So the fact that I memorized that when I was 15 has helped me throughout my life. And I realized how much actually the whole book of Philippians encourages me. There's another one that I'll share. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Because we often think of Philippians chapter 2, where it's talking about if there's any encouragement with being united in Christ. And then it's this beautiful hymn of praise for Jesus. You know, though he was equal with God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And we love that, and we're encouraged in our faith when we read Philippians 2. But I love Philippians chapter 1, so full of these nuggets of encouragement. And this is one that means a lot to me. Philippians 1, verse 6. I am confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I love that. In my times of doubt, when I'm doubting myself or when I have doubts in my faith, when I'm struggling with serving God, when I have doubts about ministry, a lot of it is down to self-doubt, to be quite honest. But I come back to that verse and I say, you know what? I am not dependent on myself here. I'm dependent on God. And it encourages me to keep going because God, who began a good work in me, will carry it on to completion. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that true for you as well? Isn't that true for all of us? God is good. Encouragement is a way that we bless each other. It's the way that we help each other to persevere. We're going to practice it now. I would really like us right now, in small groups. It'd be better if it was not necessarily with people that you know that well. So we might need to do a bit of shifting around if you don't mind. I'd like us to think about what encourages you in your faith. It could be like a verse that you think, you know what, this has really stuck with me. This has helped me to keep going. It just could be a word of encouragement that somebody's given you. Something like that. What encourages you in your faith? It could be being with people. It could be with being here. And also another question. What encouragement do you need right now? That's a personal one, and if you don't feel like you can answer it, then nobody should feel obliged, because I know we've done it before where you go into small groups. I've been here when you've done that. But sometimes personal questions, you might say, I don't feel able to share, and I think that's absolutely fine. So what encourages you in your faith, and what encouragement do you need right now? And it'd be good if we can share. It needs to be quite small groups, maybe 2, 3, or max 4. And then it would be good to just spend a little bit of time praying. We can only really give it, unfortunately, 7 minutes, the holy number. So is that okay? Are we happy to do that? If everybody has got folks to share with, that would be really, really good. So what encourages you in your faith, and what encouragement do you need right now?